Rafe Dunbarger, acting CEO of Interstellar Communications, stared out the window at what had been an avenue of blooming cherries until the freezing rain withered the flowers. The view expressed his mood precisely. Every time he thought he had his life rearranged into something livable, a disaster moved in.
Rafe?
His sister Penelope, with her own problems. Rafe suppressed a sigh and turned to her with a smile.
Penny, you look lovely.
And she did, having regained the weight she'd lost in the aftermath of losing her husband and her baby. Physically, she was fully recovered. Emotionally, Rafe considered her still fragile.
I feel better. I'm sorry. I can't help thinking, a year ago...
A year ago, she had been recently married, pregnant, the wealthy and indulged youngest child of a wealthy family, married into what had seemed a secure relationship. Rafe held her for a few moments until she pulled back a little, then released her.
No apologies, Penny Luck. Dinner still all right?
Yes. I need something to celebrate.
He didn't have much to celebrate, except that he had saved her life and his parents, and in the process lost the most fascinating woman he'd ever known. Penny tucked her arm into his.
Tell me about Kaivada. She was in the news again. Well, her cousin Stella was, but talking about Kai, what did you think of her?
Kaivada was the last person Rafe wanted to talk about.
Stella's interesting, too. Gorgeous creature, like a fine sculpture.
I saw the pictures. I am not in the mood for gorgeous creatures. Kai doesn't look so impossibly perfect. Did you hate her so much?
Hate Kai? No.
Rafe guided Penny gently out of the apartment, pinging their security with his skull phone to be sure the driver would be ready. Aral, the evening number one, fell in behind them. Madoc, the evening number two, was already at the elevator.
You don't talk about her. I wondered if...
She's hard to describe. Not physically, of course. You've seen the pictures. But that mix of commercial and military background gives her unexpected qualities. She's feistier than Stella. Not that Stella's bland.
Penny looked sideways at him.
You're hiding something.
No, I'm not. I'm trying to answer your question.
You are, I can tell. I thought you were in love with the other one, the gorgeous Stella.
Not in love with. We had a brief fling, and I'm not proud of those years, Penny. She was a little younger than I, less experienced in what she was trying to do. I enjoyed escorting her, of course, but...
But any love had been on Stella's side, and she'd clearly gotten over it.
So you're in love with the dangerous one.
I'm not a character in a play. I don't have to be in love with either of them.
Right. You only rescue people. Pretend to be a Raquel.
I was a Raquel.
Inside, I mean. I don't believe you ever were inside. And you've fallen for her. The rumors were right. Don't bother to deny it.
I never argue with beautiful women.
Rafe handed her into the car, checked with his security team that all was well there and above ground, and then entered himself. Rafe had invited his personal assistant, Emil, to join them. A birthday dinner needed guests, and Penny had agreed that Emil would suit her. Winterplane suited her as well, a restaurant whose dedication to privacy and comfort almost equaled its pricing.
Let's talk about something else, like how you're doing. I hope you won't find it insulting that I've been surprised and delighted by your work so far.
Really?
You have a nose for fraud, Penny. You found one bent account after another.
So you thought you'd bury me in paper and keep me busy and out of trouble?
Rafe could not tell from her tone if she was angry or not.
Guilty as charged. I knew you needed work to do, some way to feel productive. And I was sure you weren't a crook yourself. I had no idea I was turning a ferret loose in a rabbit warren. You're talented at this, and you're valuable to the company, or anyone else you want to work for.
It's easy. Anyone could...
No, they couldn't. I can read people when I'm with them and spot the crooks that way, but I'm not nearly as good as you are at following cold trails through the books. You've found problems I never suspected.
Were they all, Parmina?
I don't think so. Too many diverging vectors of motivation. I think he created a climate in which fraud and embezzlement and symbol incompetence could thrive on the margins of his own intent. Lying, cheating, and stealing became the norm. People who weren't on his team shrugged and went after their own interests.
Penny patted his knee.
You're changing that.
I'm trying. But an organization like ISC has a lot of inertia. Convincing people to quit doing what profits them is tough. I can't fire everyone and start over.
Why didn't Father notice any of this?
I don't know, Penny. Parmina was working him, for one thing. For all I know, could have been feeding him poisons, literally. Something to dull his perceptions, just that little bit. Unless Father was in on it.
No. He was as surprised as I was when we were taken. And I'm sure he didn't know about the rest of it. Though it does seem incredible that he wouldn't.
Penny's expression, in the dim light of the vehicle, showed doubt and fear. Not emotions Rafe wanted her to feel on her birthday.
Let's talk about something else.
He racked his brain to think of something. With war looming, with the company foundering, with their father still mostly incoherent and their mother still in denial about his condition, with the woman he loved facing death in combat, he was stumped.
I had lunch with Lucy Parmina last week. I don't think I told you. I gave her the name of my therapist after, you know.
How's she doing?
Much better, I think. She's not actually using my therapist, but another in the same practice. She started painting again, and she showed me some images. I can actually stand to look at them.
Hmm?
Well, when we were in school, she painted, but there were such horrible things. Bleeding bones and faces with green stuff coming out of the eyes, barbed teeth, that I couldn't look at them. Now she's painting landscapes and kind of stiff-looking people. But people, not nightmares.
I was an art dealer once, you know? Well, art and antiquities, anyway.
You?
Oh, yes. If she wants an agent sometime, if she wants to pursue a career in art, tell her to ask me. I know people.
Penny gave him an odd look.
I would never have thought of you as knowing anything about art. She does hope, she said, but I don't think she believes she'll make it.
Her father's faults can't be allowed to ruin her life. How's her mother doing?
Not as well. Lucy says she won't leave the house, won't consider going into therapy.
The car slid into the secure parking area below Winterplane. Rafe handed Penny out and redirected the conversation again, this time to artists he'd known and things he'd learned about the business. They chatted about art all the way up to their private dining nook, where Emil had just arrived. Rafe let Emil take over the conversation. He was eager to tell Penny about a musical show he had seen, and soon the mood lightened. Music. Rafe wished he'd thought of music. Thanks to their mother, Penny had had lessons and played two instruments at near professional level. They'd had musicians staying with them on tour. Emil's family had always had season tickets to the opera and the symphony. He, too, had had lessons.
But I didn't have talent. My parents took me to teacher after teacher, and they all gave up. I love to hear good music. I can't make it. Do you still practice, Penny?
I haven't in a while. I should get back to it, I suppose. But I'm not really the soloist type.
Some of my friends have an amateur group. You might consider them. I could introduce you.
Penny glanced at Rafe.
I like that, Emil. I'm rusty, but if I had a goal, I know I'd practice. I'd have to move instruments from my parents' house.
She was looking happier. She was relaxed. If health for Parmina's daughter meant going back to painting, then maybe health for Penny meant going back to music. Rafe ate the rest of his entree with genuine pleasure. No one should be able to find them, let alone interrupt. But the door opened, one of the restaurant staff, and a man in business attire.
So sorry to interrupt, Sir Dunbarger.
Rafe's implant ran a rapid check. Alois Melendi, Assistant Secretary of Defense. He felt his pulse race, controlled it.
Not at all, Sir Melendi. I hope it is not too urgent. This is my sister's birthday dinner.
Sarah, my pardon, sir. Sir Dunbarger, I am truly sorry, but this is a matter of considerable urgency. If I could just speak to you privately?
Very well. Emil, will you take over as host in case this takes longer than a moment? Penny, my apologies.
In company, Penny had acquired a glow and looked happy and relaxed.
It's all right.
Rafe rose. His other security guard moved with him as he and Melendi moved to an alcove just outside the room.
Vada's War, Victory Conditions, is continued on the next CD.